Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I'm Douglas Impuga. This evening we'll look at the political situation in Sudan and what it means for the region. And with us tonight is my colleague, Vincent Macori, host of VOA's Africa 54. Good afternoon, my brother.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
You're very much welcome. And we also have regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula. He joins us as usual from Durban, South Africa. He's an independent political analyst. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good afternoon, Vincent, and good afternoon, Douglas.
And how is Durban with your landslides you had yesterday?
It is still raining, it is still worrying, but we hope with God's grace maybe it will calm down.
Okay, let's hope everything goes fine. Gentlemen, as I said, tonight we are looking at Sudan. The events in Sudan, as our listeners may know, the protest began in December. They moved on. Then eventually the army came in and overthrew Bashir. Now the protesters have not given way yet. They still want civilian rule. There are a lot of twists and turns with resignations among the members of the army council, with the protesters demanding more. Vincent, how do you see this thing working out?
Yeah. I think the protesters have actually maintained their position. That is what the military might have underestimated or misread initially, that they wanted Bashir and his entire system out. Mm-hmm. They did not want a change of leadership at the head of the military. So it was very clear to them that they were not interested in having Bashir replaced by a military government mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a big challenge there because, again, it will, for a real strong and functional civilian rule, given that the military is the one that took Bashir out, there would have to be preparations for that. There would have to be kind of time to look for people who can hold those positions and be at the head of a government of transition. Well, that ideally, in an ideal situation, it could take a little time to put together civilian rule, transitioning from what has been a military system all this time. Problem is that the civilians do not trust the military. Just as it is in all cases, people in uniform, once they get into positions of power, they've never been known. It's been extremely rare for them to quickly relinquish power as they promised, because once they start experiencing enjoying the taste of power and kind of starting to be in control of all the systems, sometimes the temptation is to stay longer. So the civilians are in a place where, of course, ideally they are happy that the military is on their side and wants to stabilize the country. But how can you trust them to say that they will hold on, power for maybe 2 years, as they say? That looks like such a long time, and long time enough for the military to change its position and continue staying in power forever.
Suleiman, what's your take on this? Because now we're getting to time is running, and the time is of essence in this case.
Douglas, what we are seeing is what is expected. Those are the consequences of a dictatorship which overstays. The quagmire that has happened in Sudan is what is expected. After a long time of a dictatorship, the whole regime was caught off guard. They were taken unaware. They underestimated the resilience and the determination of the people. So since they were not prepared, there has to be confusion. And it is understandable. The country has been under a personalized rule where institutions have been destroyed, where institutions have been personalized, where political position had been suppressed and weakened, where alternative views have been weakened and suppressed. Now, after they have been removing them suddenly, means removing the regime suddenly, means a very big vacuum. That is why the soldiers had to keep in office. We had to to make way, to find a way to hold the country together. Otherwise, there will be chaos. And it has happened elsewhere. In all these countries where the dictatorships have suddenly fallen, Somalia, Libya, DRC, once the dictatorship is taken suddenly, unaware, there is a record of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily enough, they are holding it, they are holding the nation together, they are holding the state together, while the politicians and the revolutionaries, the people who are fighting for their freedom, are trying to organize themselves. Otherwise, it is so difficult. After all the political parties have been suppressed and divided, even the system usually divides them. You find they have been fighting one another, and there is nobody to take over. So there is a complete vacuum. But luckily enough, step by step, with the resilience of the demonstrators, they are organizing themselves, and I think shortly, like the way the AU has given them some time, within that timeline, they are breaking the soldiers, they are breaking the wings of the soldiers, and slowly, but steadily, maybe they will get a transitional government, which is a mixture of civilian and the military.
I see. Talking of getting some time, this week, Egyptian President Abdallah Fattah al-Sisi gathered several African leaders in Cairo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And according to his office, those leaders gathered there insisted that there's need for more time for a transition.
Mm-hmm.
That one, in a layman's language, is give the military council time to sort things out. Then you can come in.
Yes.
What's your take on that? Is that augur well for the protesters?
Well, first you have to remember who Abdel Fattah al-Sisi is.
He's
a military guy who was
overthrew
a legitimately civilian, democratically elected government.
Mm.
He had been in the background during the former president Mubarak, and therefore, when protesters see Al-Sisi as the person who is mediating in a situation where there is a military in position right now, their level of trust, I think, is very low because they know what he did. I mean, what did Al-Sisi do himself? He came in as a savior to the people of Egypt, saving them from a civilian government of Mohamed Morsi.
Mm.
What happened after that? He has finagled and worked his way into manipulating members of parliament to change the constitution so they can allow him to be in power until 2030. And, of course, he may not be wearing the military uniform, but he's a military guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you trust such a person to be giving advice regarding how long a military system, a military junta should stay in positions of power? 2 years or whatever months that one may say, people could see that from the prism mm-hmm. of Egypt. And, of course, their concern will be that after some time, after these guys have been in power for some time, they may decide to change things. And they, once the people get away from the streets and go back home, that might be it. Now, whatever they do after that might be very difficult to change.
Suleiman, the group of leaders that gathered in Cairo, as Vincent says here, were not beacons of democracy as such.
Actually, the only problem there with Sudan is that these are countries which are held together by force. That is the worry. There are so many guns around. There are so many factions around. There is a likelihood of outbreak of war any time. I think that is why they had to come in and intervene. I think the way the demonstrators are insisting, the military staying for the time being wouldn't be an issue as such. But it is the timeline which he has to be insisted on so that the revolution is not hijacked by them, as Vincent is saying, so that they don't turn it away. Otherwise, it was necessary to hold the country together, not to shake it the way the revolutionaries want to do it and shake it open. Otherwise, you get rising from Darfur and all other areas. There might be chaos. Chaos might break rules. So there is a need to hold the country together, leaving the security system which was there, but carefully, and then eventually hand over to the civilian institutions to take the country over and take the country forward.
And as
but there is a necessity to hold the country together for the time being. So they don't...
Yeah, some have argued, in fact, that what's wrong with having a civilian person in charge at the top with the military in the background in charge of all security? After all, in all countries, including the United States, the person who is the commander-in-chief is not a military guy, he's a civilian person, in some cases a civilian person who has not even served in the military. But the Constitution makes him the head of the militaries. The United States has got a powerful military. The commanders respect the civilian direction, the leadership they get. And some people are looking at that situation in Egypt, in Sudan, and saying, well, nobody's saying the military should go away. They're in charge of security. They're in charge of ensuring the country's together. What's wrong with forming a transitional government where you have some civilian politician, or even if it's a technocrat for this transitional period, being the head of the transitional council? And of course, incorporating some of the military guys in key positions, especially security, could be other ministries or other sectors. But I think what they want to see is that the face of the government is not military uniform and guns.
Mm-hmm.
I think the crown, the military thing kind of doesn't settle well with the protesters. If only you could at least have the head or the person who is the leader and the front of the transitional government, as it's a civilian, the citizens would be comfortable with having the military playing key roles until the time of election.
And Suleiman, following up on Vincent's point here, some analysts have said this fear is not far-fetched, because if you look around Sudan's neighbors, in Egypt, Al-Sisi took power by the gun. It was a coup. Down going south, Uganda, it was, around the region, military rulers, when they get to power, they never go away.
Yeah. No, we have to credit the Sudanese people. They are resilient. It is no joke. They have learned from what has happened elsewhere, and they are standing still. They are not letting down. Otherwise, if they take a chance, the revolution no doubt will be hijacked. It has happened, in, as you have said, in all these other countries, including the latest one in Zimbabwe. So I think they are right to stand, to stay put, and to insist on getting a civilian government. The only problem, Vincent, there was that after all, political organizations have been disorganized because of the long stay of the dictatorship. It is not even easy to get the civilian leader within the demonstrators or within the revolutionaries.
Somebody,
they need time and space organize themselves and get leadership.
Somebody might also argue, what experience does any of those military guys have in running the affairs of the nation? They are soldiers. They know how to run military contingents. They know how to go to war. What the people may be asking for is that we are not saying that the military remove itself from their duties that are constitutional to them. In fact, they would be playing a big role in ensuring that the future of their country is secure, especially now that the Sudan is known to have so many other factions with guns. But I think they want to see some... It doesn't have to have been some person who was necessarily in the system as a civilian, but there has to be some Sudanese. There has to be some very experienced technocrats in Sudan who would be part of a council. They're not talking about having a civilian president. They're talking about having a transitional council, or a transitional kind of a government, which means it's not a government that is being ruled by some absolute
one person
civilian. There definitely are intelligent Sudanese who, if they were to be put together in a room, sit at a table along with the military generals, they can chat out the future, the near future of Sudan, and decide how to deal with the economy of the country. There must be some Sudanese who can be in charge of the economy of the country, especially the Minister of Finance or whatever, and then the issues of security. And of course, then prepare for the future? Because in a way, if one insists that only the military can be in charge, is actually in a way to project Sudanese as not being smart enough to run a government. Then what do you expect in the future when you have an election? Are you going to have some civilians really qualify to be leaders of that country? If you're saying today there is no single civilian Sudanese who can be part of a transitional government, really? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
Well, for those who are just joining us, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from VOA studios here in Washington. Tonight, we are discussing the political situation in Sudan and how it impacts the region. Our panelists are my colleague, Vincent Macquarie, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst. I'm your host, Douglas Mpuga, here in Studio One in Washington. Vincent, let me go to Suleiman now. It's interesting how the international community has reacted to the situation in Sudan. For instance, nobody, if any, has called the situation in Sudan a military coup. They are avoiding the word coup in Sudan. Was it a coup, Suleiman? Was it people's, is that intended to disenfranchise the people who slept on the streets and did all they could to make sure things change?
Actually, the way you are saying it was good, but the strange thing is that really it was a people's movement which took overwhelmed the regime. The military came in because the civilian demonstrators could not hold the country together. They took advantage of that. Otherwise, the revolution was for the people themselves. And this started a long time, from December. They have been on it. It has been moving slowly until April 11th. So it has been a process. It is clear people fought for their rights. And this is a long-standing dictator. But to add a little to what Vincent was saying before I finish that one, is that, yes, it is possible to have it. It has happened elsewhere on the continent where a technocrat, a non-politician, can lead a government. I think in the first government, the transitional government in Liberia was led by a former businessman.
Judy Bryant.
Exactly. In Uganda, in 1979, after the fall of Idi Amin, they had a professor, with a professor Lule, who was formerly a professor. He led a civilian-led a transitional government, where it never stayed long, but they can always get someone who can lead the government to take over for the time being. I think the only good thing about Sudan is that it is giving a good template for the countries which are fragile and which are about to erupt, because the dinosaurs are still so many on the continent. At least we are getting a template where people are going to be resilient and people are going to insist on what they want, so that even this hijacking which has been taking place in Zimbabwe and Egypt has to be thrown aside, and people get, once they rise up, they get through the transition civilian government to replace the dictators which have been oppressing them.
I see. And I think to that point, I think the resilience and the pressure of the protesters may actually work, because only today, three other members, you remember the first chairman of the council had to pull out.
Yes.
Now, today, another three members are going to resign and let room, and they're saying they're going to resume the talks. And judges earlier today also issued a warning that if there are more protests, they are going to join the sit-down.
Yes. So what's happening very clearly is that the citizens are very, very aware that they held a protest that led into the ouster of President Bashir. Mm. What could amount into a coup now is the military hijacking the process. Mm. If the military is hijacked this process, that becomes a coup. Why it may not be characterized as a coup, just like in the first, the revolution in Egypt, which took away Mubarak, it is the people, the popular uprising of the people, which compelled the militaries to take action and take out one of their own, because there was nobody else who had the means to take out Mr. Bashir. He literally, his house is in the military headquarters. Now, citizens could not literally walk into the military headquarters and take out Mr. Bashir and take him out of power. The militaries yielded to the popular uprising of the civilians. And that is what the civilians, the protesters are girding. They're protecting that. They're saying, this was our coup. You played a part by siding with us and recognizing that you're part of society, that you're members of this country. You may be in uniform, but you're our children, our brothers, our uncles and sisters and brothers. So now that we have compelled you to kick that man out, we have not opened the door for you to take over now. That would be a coup against the popular uprising of the civilians. And therefore, the request, the demand that they achieve what they intended to achieve is to transition from a military rule, which was al-Bashir, to a purely civilian rule. In the interim period, a transitional government, but it has to have, according to those protesters, the face of a civilian, because then that will show very clearly that the popular uprising has succeeded. Otherwise, it would be that the popular uprising led the military into replacing al-Bashir with themselves. And so I think that's where the problem is. If you look at Egypt the first time, a popular uprising led to the military there, again, yielding to the force of the civilians and taking out Mubarak. But quickly, they held an election which brought in Mohamed Morsi. In Zimbabwe, for example, a popular uprising led to the oust of Mugabe, but then it was quickly the military staged a coup by bringing in a person who was a part of a Mugabe system and is a military guy in the past.
So, Suleiman, what's your take on that? Because now the contention is on how much time you give the military, and the fear is the longer they stay, the more they entrench themselves in the seat and may not give way.
No, as far as Sudan is concerned, it is very exciting in Sudan. Because they are on top of the game. The people are insisting. The little time which they have they have been given, they have reorganized themselves. The leaders of the demonstration and the other stakeholders, they are coming together. And today's march itself has reinforced them. They have pushed the soldiers on the wall. Now the soldiers have been incapacitated. They know the force which they are working with. So they are not likely to continue with their coup. They are going to give up. What is exciting and what we should question is, are the other dinosaurs in the region, on the continent, are they watching? Are they packing their bags? Or they are waiting also to be swept aside. And if they are waiting to be swept aside, are the interested stakeholders within the region, are they getting ready to organize themselves in case something like that happens?
I see. Officer, what to that point, as Suleiman refers to them as dinosaurs, but those the strong men on the continent, what's the lesson they should pick from this?
The lesson should pick from this is that at the end of the day, the country belongs to the citizens of the country. You may be at the top, at the helm there, but you have to remember, how did you come in? I mean, how did Museveni come to power? It is because he appealed to the citizens of Uganda and make them believe that they were being oppressed and therefore they needed to overthrow the government and come in and stay in power, whether it is Kagame or an elected president of Kenya or Tanzania or everywhere. You have to remember that the country is not your personal property, that at some point you appealed to the citizens of a country. And at a time comes where if you've misused your position, you have abused the privilege that was bestowed upon you, the citizens can come and demand back that position. In fact, it's a form of recalling you back in some very well-organized systems like in South Africa. The president can be recalled by the parliament. Now, in countries where they don't have a system of recalling a president, when citizens come out and start to make demands and you start hitting back by shooting at them, a time comes where even the bullet, as that young girl, young lady in Sudan said, the bullet does not kill you. It is the silence that will kill you. Mm. A time will come where the masses of any country across the continent of Africa will not be afraid of the bullet, and they will not be afraid of the armies, because they recognize that they're bigger, they're more powerful than the armies of any nation. Because at the end of the day, who is the army? It's the people who come from that same society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is something they have to realize, and they have to look over to the other side of the border and realize what has happened in, what happened in Egypt, what happened in Sudan, what happened in
Algeria. Zimbabwe.
So if you are in a dreamland where you kind of think you're the gift of God to the people of any country and you're going to stay there forever, I think it's time to wake up and start thinking carefully about the future of your nation, of your children. As I say, terrible dictators don't love their nation, they don't love their children, they don't love their families, because they never care about what happens after they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really care.
Suleiman, the remaining 1.5 minutes, do you think these dreamers, as he calls them, are watching? Are they, will they rethink their grand plan to rule until they die?
Whether they watch, whether they don't watch, I can't see any compelling reasons why Ugandans should not rise and recall Museveni. He never won an election. He never had a constituency. He came with a gun. He has misused his powers. They are going to recall him. The conditions are bad. I can't see Kagame remaining. The people insisted that Kabila goes, he went. The people insisted that Mugabe goes, he went. The people insisted that Omar Bashir goes, he goes. He has gone. So, soon or later, Kagame will go. Soon or later, Museveni will go. Soon or later, Biya will go. So, it is deadly. It's for work in Eritrea. They are going to go whether they like it or not. The population they are leading is a young population. We are in a globalized world. The information is flowing very fast and every day. They are not going to leave these dinosaurs to continue suppressing them. So anytime, whether they like it or not, they are going to fall. Can pack their bags and go before they are thrown out.
Actually, if they could make arrangements to leave quickly, it will show that they are really, truly patriotic. They love their countries. They love their people. They even love their families. Who wants to leave power in a violent way and have their children being arrested or having to run away to be refugees elsewhere? If you really care about your country, be a responsible person. You move aside and let new leadership come in, because at the end of the day, the country is not your personal property, regardless of how good you've done for the country. It's not your personal property.
I hope they get that message, because the people, as Suleiman says, Africa is a very young continent. Some countries, 80% of the people are less than 30. Well, gentlemen, we are out of time. That wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thanks to my colleague, Vincent Macquarie, host of VOA's Africa 54, and Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much, as usual, for being on the program.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Our producer, as usual, was Jackson Mvunganyi, and our engineer tonight was Vasco Vularich. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to the internet on our main website, click on programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. And once again, thank you very much for tuning in. I'm your host, Douglas Impuga. See you next week. This is VOA.